me to Micah chapter 7. Micah, it's probably a book you haven't been in recently. Maybe it has, maybe it hasn't. But we're going to take you there. Micah 7, verses 5 through 8. I believe this word is really going to encourage you today. And the Holy Spirit gave me some revelation, some insight that I think is missing. It might be a part or a piece that's missing in the life of a lot of Christians, so I'm excited to release this. Micah 7, 5 through 8. Do not trust in a friend. Do not put your confidence in a companion. Guard the doors of your mouth from her who lies in your bosom. For son dishonors father. Daughter rises against her mother. Daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. Someone needs some therapy up in here, it sounds like, huh? Someone's been betrayed. A man's enemies are the men of his own household. Therefore, I will look to the Lord. I will wait for the God of my salvation. My God will hear me. Do not rejoice over me, my enemy. When I fall, I will arise. Underline that. I will arise. When I sit in darkness, the Lord will be a light to me. Now, the prophet Micah here was lamenting. He was sorrowful about the corruption, the sin, the injustice of the society in which he was living. Obviously, he ran into some issues in his own personal life too, probably, right? He was discouraged at the evil that was surrounding him and the attacks of the enemy that were coming against him. How many of you have been being attacked by the enemy? I know we always do, but how many really felt an increase? Oh, yeah. Oh, amen. So, listen to this. He could have stayed down and discouraged, but he knew who was on his side. He understood that him plus God was a majority. Amen. The faith that Micah had in God was manifested and released into words in verses 7 and 8. Just you can take a look at them yourselves. But he started off a little negative, and then he turned it to a positive confession, right? His faith was starting to rise up. See, there are many in this place, many listening and watching around the world right now on the internet that are going through major trials in your life. All right? If you're a Christian, a child of God, the Word of God says, when you sit in darkness, the Lord will be a light unto you. Amen? When you fall, when discouragement tries to overtake you, you shall arise. When sickness and disease hits your body, hits your mind, you shall arise. Come on, somebody. When you are persecuted for the name of Jesus Christ, you shall arise. Listen to this. Defeat and hopelessness should never be in a Christian's vocabulary. Never count a Christian out. Amen? If those words are in your vocabulary, you are trying to work things out in your own strength, in your own wisdom, in your own power, and not tapping into the ability, power, and wisdom of the Holy Spirit. Oh, he's the one that puts us over. Amen? For the Christian, there is never defeat. But listen to me. For a Christian, there really is never defeat, but rather just a temporary setback. As a Christian, you're not on your own. Christ lives in and through you, through the Holy Spirit. Amen? His power, man, I feel the anointing over here. It's like coming down upon my head like oil right now. His power, his peace, his strength, his ability, his authority, and his wisdom come with that package deal. Say package deal. Say Holy Spirit. Oh, we got to become more aware of what the Holy Spirit brings and gives to us on the inside. Listen to this. The only way the devil and circumstances can triumph over you as a Christian is simply this, for you to stay down and give up. That's it. As long as you get back up, you will always get back to that victorious spot. Joseph suffered many trials and hardships in his life, but he kept getting back up and he stayed close to God while the attacks were coming. right? Remember, like I just said, if you want it to be the Lord's battle, you need to stay close to God. Amen? Amen. As long as you're staying close to him, you have him fighting on your behalf. But if you're going to step into the flesh and do your own thing, you forfeit God's help. David took some hard falls in his life, but he arose and ran back to God with a heart of repentance. Are you seeing a pattern here? Peter denied Jesus 3 times, but he got back up and he was used mightily by God. Paul was buffeted by the enemy, but he got back up, he finished his course, he crossed the finish line of his faith, and we can all do the same thing. Amen? Job had major attacks from Satan. Now, even Job's wife, his wife told him to curse God, but he wouldn't do it. Job remained faithful to God, and he got back up. If you're in a battle today and you feel like you've been knocked down, guess what? Don't stay there. Get back up. Listen, it's time for us to arise and boldly take our place in the kingdom of God. We need to take hold of the truth that's in Romans 8:28. Go with me to Romans 8:28 real quick here. I can quote it, but I want you to see it. I want you to read it. Amen? And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called, the called according to his purpose. So you got to love God. You need to stay in obedience. If you will do that, it doesn't matter what has happened to you. Come on, it doesn't matter what the injustice does. God can turn it around. Amen. He can turn it around. Anything. Amen? Amen? Now, there is nothing in your life that the enemy can throw at you that God can't turn around and make you victorious. But again, you must run back to God and stay close to the Holy Spirit. Go to Proverbs 24:16. Proverbs 24:16. I'm just warming up. I mean, probably one of the biggest parts of this message, revelation-wise, is toward the end. So you're going to want to stay awake through this. Okay, Proverbs 24:16. Look at this. For a righteous man may fall 7 times and rise again, but the wicked shall fall by calamity. Moral of the story, guess what? There's stuff is going to happen to us. Junk is going to happen. The attacks are going to come. There's going to be times where we feel like we're knocked down. But guess what the righteous person does? They get back up and they say, I'm not giving up. Because God is on my side. I'm going to be a doer of the word. I'm going to stay faithful to God. I'm not going to go the easy route by doing it the devil's way, the world's way. I'm going to stay close to God, amen, like Joseph did. And look where it got him, to become a leader of a whole country. Amen. Now, real quick, go with me to Psalm 37. Now, I talked about Psalm 37 a while back. I don't know, a year or two ago. But I really felt like I need to go over these again, and you'll see why. I feel like the Holy Spirit added revelation to it for me, amen? It's always good to go back and revisit, amen? Be put in remembrance. So I want to give you 6 keys that will help you to get back up and show you how to be victorious, all right? Psalm 37, 1 and 2. Do not fret because of evildoers, nor be envious of the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. I put a whole bunch of notes in between what I typed on Friday. So, I don't want to miss any of this, all right? So, this happens. Becoming envious of evildoers, it happens when a Christian is really in a backslidden condition. They're not seeing clearly, and they're allowing their flesh, their carnal mind, to rule over them more than their born-again spirit. Spiritually speaking, envy is a very poisonous worldly mindset that you need to stay away from. If you had a spiritual mindset in the midst of this, you would realize that sinners are, number one, they're on a one-way road to hell without Jesus Christ. There is nothing to envy from an evildoer. Amen? What is envy? Listen to this. Envy is a resentfulness, a discontentment, and a desire or longing for something that someone else possesses. It's a discontentment. That's what you really need to get. It's a discontentment. And Jesus said, what does it profit a man who gains the whole world yet loses his soul? See, if you choose to constantly envy evildoers because of their money, their material possessions, guess what? You will never arise. By the way, the title of my message is, I Will Arise. I Will Arise. And if you constantly are in a state of envy toward anybody, you will never arise. You will always stay down here. You will always stay at the immature ground level in your walk with the Lord. I can promise you that. You will always feel defeated. You will, because it'll make you feel like you're never good enough, because you're basing it on worldly things. Are you following me? The Word of God says in 1 Timothy 6:6, it says that godliness with contentment. Godliness with contentment is great gain in the kingdom of God. That is the proper spiritual mindset that we are to have in our life as a disciple of Jesus Christ. We need to live a godly life, okay? We need to live that godly life to maintain the favor of God on our life. How many of you want the favor of God? Amen. Living a life of envy, don't ever forget this, is wasted time and a wasted life. Living a life of envy is wasted time and wasted life. Now, look at Psalm 37:3. It says, trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on his faithfulness. The next thing is, trust in the Lord and do good. Say, trust in the Lord and do good. I want you to notice, to arise from your negative circumstances, you must have both. Trust in the Lord and do good. All right? Why? Because faith without works is dead. All right? So trust without living a holy life is unprofitable. Oh, you didn't hear me. Let me say it again. Trust without living a holy life is unprofitable. You need both. Trust in the Lord and do good. Amen? It means that you will trust the Lord and do good even though your carnal mind, your fleshly mind, is screaming at you to do something else. You're committed to trusting God and doing good. In fact, trusting God should motivate you to do the right thing. Amen? Hallelujah. We're rolling on through. All right, now, verse 4, Psalm 37:4. It says, delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. Oh, that's a powerful one. That always strikes a chord right in my spirit when I hear that. If you do this, you will always, if you delight yourself in the Lord, you will always find in yourself rising up after a fall. You will always find yourself rising up after a negative situation in your life. Always. We were not created to focus on things in the natural realm, to delight in them. We were created to delight ourselves in the Lord. Really, when you look at the Word of God and the commands, all the commands of God are, all the instructions in the Word of God are, is what God originally, intended us to do. Amen. That's all the commands are. Why do they have to be commands? Because now we're dealing with the flesh where we want to do something opposite. Are you following me? Yeah. That's why the Bible's the manual. Basic instructions before leaving earth. God's commands are showing what we were originally intended to live like on this earth. Does that make sense to you? So delighting yourself in the, so that puts a little different spin on commands, doesn't it? Because a lot of people look at commands as, oh, God's being pushy. Oh, look at this. He just wants to control. No, no, no. He's trying to tell you how you were originally created and how we're supposed to live now as a Christian. So delighting yourself in the Lord means that you are delighting in his presence. You're delighting in his written word. You're delighting in, you could say it this way, in who he is. You know, you must get to know him to be able to delight in him. Let me say that one more time. You must get to know him in his word to be able to truly delight in him. It also means to delight in living a life of obedience to the word of God. It has to be a delight. In fact, you can't even get to know God apart from reading the word of God. The word of God reveals who he is. Amen? So delight in things that are pure and holy. Delight in things, I like to say it this way. Delight in things that Jesus would approve of and delight in himself. Now, what is delight? Are you ready for this? Delight means simply this, great pleasure. Do you take great pleasure in your relationship with God? If not, you need to. Because it says when you get to that place of great pleasure in him, it says he will give you the desires of your heart. Why? Because you know him. And you're not going to desire anything that's outside of his will. That's why, right? Maybe you're not getting that desire of your heart because it's a fleshly thing that you have absolutely no intention of using for the kingdom of God. Hello? Maybe that breakthrough's not coming yet because God knows your heart and he says, if I give this to you at this moment, you're going to squander it. Oh, come on, somebody. So the word of God must be a living reality and a strength to you to be able to arise after a fall. You got to be able to read the word and draw strength from it. Amen? So in other words, we need to put value on what God says. We need to put value on the promises in the word of God. Now, Psalm 37, 23 and 24. And it says these words. Very popular passage, or a couple scriptures. The steps of a good man, or person, are ordered by the Lord. Women, you're expected to do this too, right? And he delights in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholds him with his hand. Oh my. If you're allowing your steps to be ordered by the Lord, you are delighting yourself in the Lord. You see how it's connected? You can't really separate it. And notice it goes on to say, I love that, how the hand of the Lord will literally hold you up. How? What's the main point of it? You're allowing the Lord to order your steps. Who's on this earth on the Godhead right now? Who's trying to lead us? The Holy Spirit. We need a relationship with the Holy Spirit on this earth. Don't try to block him out. Amen? See, there is a fulfillment. There is a joy, a peace in knowing that your steps are ordered by the Lord because you know that God is always leading you. Listen to me. You know that God is always leading you toward the victory, toward the blessing, and he's trustworthy. How many of you know when you, at times in your life, you knew God was ordering your step and there was just a peace and a joy like never before in your heart? Isn't that awesome? He's trustworthy. When he's leading and guiding, you can trust him. He has your best interest in store. He really does. No devil can take away your joy unless you are allowing your flesh to dominate you. No joy is simply this, a focus problem. If you don't have joy in your life as a Christian, there's a focus problem. You're focused on the wrong thing. Because true joy is not based, you hear it all the time behind pulpits, right? I mean, it becomes cliche to some, right? True joy is not based on circumstances, right? When you got born again, listen to this, joy got deposited in your spirit by the Holy Spirit. Now you know what the Word of God tells us to do? Draw out that joy. Draw it out. How can you draw something out that's not there? It's there. You got to stir it up and draw it out, bring it out to the open. If you're happy, notify your face. Amen? We need to draw it out. We need to draw out of the Bible calls it this, the wells of salvation. When the Holy Spirit came into you, there's wells in you. Not just one well, wells. There's so many blessings on the inside that you need to tap into. Amen? You could say it this way. You have rivers of living water on the inside of you, and you need to let them flow out of you. How do you do it? By delighting yourself in the Lord. You need to find joy in the Lord. If you only find joy and happiness with circumstances in your life, oh, I got a new car, if that's the only time you hit it, have that joy and happiness, there's a focus problem. That needs to be transferred. Now, God's not mad that you're happy about getting a new car, but he wants to be the source of your joy, right? What if you don't get that car? Are you still going to be happy? Amen? Now, so if you don't find joy or delight in serving God or in reading his written word or hearing his written word, listen to me, I can promise you this, you will never rise above the negative circumstances in your life. You just won't. You won't. Next, Psalm 37, 5 through 6. Oh, here we go. We're getting closer to the revelation of what the Holy Ghost gave me. We're getting closer. Commit your way to the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. He shall bring forth your righteousness as the light, and your justice as the noonday. God is looking for commitment from his people. God's not interested in one-night stands. Amen. There's so many spiritual one-night stands that go on in churches, right? No. God's looking for commitment with him in this relationship. Settle it in your heart before your feet hit the ground in the morning that everything you think, say, and do is going to bring glory to God. Committing your way to the Lord will put God at work in your situation. And he will eventually, listen to me, he will eventually bring forth your justice with whatever injustice has happened to you. I want you to notice in this passage of Psalm 37, trust is mentioned again. It was mentioned earlier, and it's mentioned again. It's mentioned a second time in this passage. For you to arise, faith is required. Faith at its very core. You know, we can give big descriptions, and really, me especially, I can dip right into the whole faith thing because it's so interesting. But if we just zeroed it down to its basic core of what faith is. Are you ready for this? Believing and trust. That's all it is. Belief and trust. Believing and trust, all right? That's what faith is, and it's required. We need to commit our way unto the Lord and trust him. Now look at Psalm 37, 7. Oh, here we go. Oh, this is good. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who brings wicked schemes to pass. Now, here's what the Holy Spirit said. Ready? He said, do what you can do, and then you need to rest in the Lord. Do what you can do, and then rest in him. Rest and wait. Say that with me. Rest and wait. Here's what he told me. We went deeper on this. He said, plant the proper seeds, water them, and then rest and wait for them to grow. Let me say it again. Plant the proper seeds from the word of obedience, speaking to your mountain, water them, and then rest and wait for them to grow in your life. Now go with me to Isaiah 40 real quick here. Isaiah 40. Oh, I love this one. Isaiah 40, verses 29 through 31. It says, he gives power to the weak, strength to the weak, and to those who have no might, he increases strength. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up like wings, like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Those that wait upon the Lord, say wait. Those that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. So then if that's true, I always like to take and sometimes look at the opposite. If we don't wait on the Lord, we will be weak. If we don't wait on the Lord, we'll be weak. Think about that. Waiting on the Lord, by the way, is not a passive or lazy thing. It means not, this is what waiting on the Lord means. Are you ready for this? Oh, we're starting to get into the revelation now. Because a lot of Christians think it's just kind of a lazy thing. No, it's not. It means this. It means not to do anything out of your fleshly desires or mindset. It means to wait for direction or instructions from the Holy Spirit. Allow him to work. Allow doors to open. Didn't we just sing a song that talked about that? About waiting on God, letting doors... Did we sing a song like that? We did, didn't we? Well, that was a good song. Right in line with what I'm talking about here. So in the waiting, continue to get into the Word of God. Continue to pray. Continue to live a holy life of obedience, amen, to the Word of God. Don't give place to the enemy. So in the waiting, you're still doing something, but you're just not doing your own thing. Are you following me? You're still doing something, right? You're not being lazy. But you're allowing God to work. But notice what you're doing is you're praying and you're continuing to live that life of obedience. In other words, you're allowing God to fight that battle by praying and staying in obedience like I've been talking about. So we don't give place to the enemy. Don't allow, listen to this, don't allow the seed eater. I said don't allow the seed eater to destroy what you've been sowing. Don't hinder what God is trying to do. Don't abort what God is trying to birth. Hello, somebody. Wait for the Holy Spirit. It will protect your spiritual seed. You're allowing him to move in the background. We're allowing him to move, but we're doing what we know what to do in the spiritual sense. Amen? Now, we enter into the rest of God by believing his word, believing that he's working on our behalf. So weakness comes when we start to do our own thing out of our flesh. That's if you feel drained, if you feel weak, you probably have gotten into the flesh somewhere. Are you following me? Let's just be honest about it. This goes for everyone. This goes for pastors, people in ministry, right? There's probably something in there where you probably tapped into the flesh and now you're trying to run off your own strength. The fact is we all need God's supernatural strength in the battles that we face. Maybe there's times when that you open doors. No, you push doors open and it's drained you now. Why? Because God didn't open them, you did. Are you following me? That's the key. If God opens it, where God guides, he's going to provide. Amen? So we are to wait patiently for him, meaning this then. Are you ready? Oh, it's this dirty two words here. Self-control. No, not self-control. See? It's a waiting knowing. It's a waiting in faith knowing that God's working. See, always remember this. True patience always has faith and peace attached to it. If faith and peace, if trust in God and peace are not attached to it, it's not true patience. Amen? It's true anyways. Go with me to Proverbs 3. Verses 9 through 10. Now we're getting into some revelation stuff. This really blew me away when I started reading these scriptures. Then the Holy Spirit gave me another scripture and another one, and it was like, wow, I get it. I get what you're trying to say here. Proverbs 3, 9 through 10. Look at this. It says, honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits, underline that, first fruits of all your increase, so your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. So here we go. In the waiting, say in the waiting. In the waiting. The Holy Spirit said this, that we need to continue to honor the Lord with our possessions and with the first fruits of all of our increase. I guarantee you, most of you probably never connected that with this, about waiting on the Lord. Listen to me. We need to continually have the Lord at the center of our heart. Amen? You agree with that? The center of our thought life, everything we do. We need to constantly be asking ourselves, are we using everything we have in our life to honor the Lord and to advance His kingdom? First fruits, say first fruits. You got to catch this revelation. First fruits, meaning God wants our best, not our leftovers. Amen. Oh, come on, somebody. That goes for every, I'm not even just talking about financial. It goes for everything. God wants our best, our first fruits. Ask yourself this, have I been giving God my very best first fruits, or have I been giving Him my leftovers? Have you, listen to this, here we go, I'm going to meddle, are you ready? Have you been giving Him the first fruits of your time, or just giving Him what's left over? That's why I believe when the psalmist says, I sought you early. In other words, when you first get up, you seek the Lord, you're giving God the first fruit of your time. Not what's left over when you're dog tired when you get home from a 12-hour day. Oh, say first fruits. Listen to this. I'm meddling again. Can I meddle? Is your giving to the kingdom of God financially your very best first fruits, or is it your leftover money after you satisfy your fleshly desires? Oh, that hurt, didn't it? We've all been there, right? Listen, if we want to arise out of the ashes, we must put God first in everything in our life. He must be included in everything. Now, this is going to be good. Something jumped out to me in Proverbs 3 as I was studying for this message, specifically the next verse, right? We read verses 9 through 10. Now, the Holy Spirit told me, keep on reading. All right. So look at verses 11 and 12. He said, my son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor detest His correction. For whom the Lord loves, He corrects, just as a father the son in whom He delights. Wow. Immediately after God talks about the command to honor the Lord with our possessions and with the first fruits of our increase, He talks about listen, He talks about the chastening of the Lord and the correction of the Lord in our life. Now, is that a coincidence? I think not. The Holy Spirit revealed something very powerful to me. Are you ready for this? This is the revelation. This is what I was talking about. This might be what's hindering breakthrough in some people's lives. Who? I don't know. But if the Holy Spirit ministers to you and reveals it, then it was to you, right? If not, just enjoy the message and one day you'll need it, right? The Holy Spirit revealed to me that chastening and correction from the Lord all stem from one thing, from not putting Him first in every area of your life. That's why He talks about the chastening and correction after honoring the Lord with your substance and the first fruits of your increase. Chastening. What's chastening? Say chastening. Because a lot of people, when you hear the word chastening, I don't know about you, but it kind of gives me the picture of, like, getting beat by a belt or, you know, and then you start to bleed a little bit. Like, real abuse and violent. That's not the picture at all what God's trying to give. Are you ready for this? Chastening is defined as this. I was blown away when I really dug into this. You're going to see God a lot differently here. Chastening means, is defined as having a restraining or moderating effect on. A restraining from or a moderating effect on. Now, what does that mean? Chastening from the Lord means this, that God will pull His presence and favor off of your life to get us back to a place of humility. God's not beating you. God's not trying to beat you. God's not trying to beat you with that sickness and disease. God, are you following me? Jesus redeemed you from that. But even worse than that, he can pull his presence. He can pull his presence and favor off of your life. Think about this. Why? It will have a moderating. He restrains himself back from your life. Some of you are like, I don't believe you, Pastor James. Well, I'm going to give you some more evidence in a moment. It will have a moderating, it will have a humbling effect on us, or it should. God may allow a negative circumstance to humble us. Again, not sick. I'm not talking about sickness or disease because Jesus took stripes on his back and all that. Are you following me?
Yes.
All right, so don't let the devil play mind games with you on that. Again, like I said, even worse, his presence and favor. Why do you think David said, take not your Holy Spirit from me? In other words, what he was really saying was, don't take your presence and favor off of my life. James 4:6, here's my other piece of evidence of what this chastening really means. Are you ready? James 4:6 says that this is written to Christians, not unbelievers. God resists the proud, a restraining effect. God resists the proud, but gives grace and favor to the humble. Are you seeing it? That's the chastening of the Lord. A consequence of chastening from the Lord is a holding back or a restraining of the grace, of the favor of God in your life. Have you ever felt that in your life where you felt like, God, where are you? And it happened after you did something you shouldn't have done. Everything seems hard. Nothing seems easy or smooth. Doors never seem to open for you. They slam shut. Nothing ever goes right in your life. That could be the chastening of the Lord in your life. I hate to be the bearer of bad news. But listen, it's the bearer of bad news, but it's also good news because I'm showing you how to get out of it. Here's how many of you want to know how to get to stop the chastening of the Lord in your life? Or you want to stay in it, all of you? Okay, well, I guess I'll go. I'll go. Oh, you do want to know. Okay, good. You don't want me to leave you hanging? Okay, here we go. Are you ready for this? This is what the Holy Spirit said to me about how to end that chastening season. Because it is a season. Ready? The spiritual lesson ends when you get the memo from your Heavenly Father and start to put him first in your life and you begin to live, come on, a life of humility and obedience to him. Amen. That's when the chastening will stop. That's when everything will turn around. Say, turn around. Listen, the Word of God says this. Are you ready what it says? It says, do not despise the chastening of the Lord. Don't despise it. He didn't say don't not like it because he knows we're not going to like it. But he says something real interesting. Don't despise it. Don't despise the chastening of the Lord. Why? Because it's for our own good. I said it's for our own good. Why? Because God is trying to correct us. God is trying to put us back on the train track of blessing, grace, and favor again in our life. So don't despise it. Don't despise the chastening and the correction of the Lord. What does that mean? What does it mean not to despise it? If we're not to despise it, we probably should know what despise means, shouldn't we? Okay, here we go. Yeah, I love giving definitions. You know that. Listen, don't despise the chastening and correction of the Lord. To despise means this. Do not reject it or don't shrink back from it. It means lean into it. You know what that means? You're leaning in and saying, God, I understand it. I missed it. I'm sorry for what I did. I'm ready to get back in your favor. Don't despise it. Embrace it. Learn the lesson. Like I said, get the memo from heaven and make the needed corrections. And guess what? The season is over, and you'll start to see a shift in your life like that. Now, here's the deal. So learn the lesson that he's trying to teach you, just like any parent would, right? Now listen to this. God's chastening hand and correction in our life proves this, that he loves us enough to discipline us. He cares about us enough to pull himself back, and he's saying, man, I hope they get what I'm trying to say here. He loves us enough to try to correct us and put us back on the right path instead of leaving us on a path of the curse, which will end in disaster. Are you feeling the heart of God on this? Isn't that, I always thought chastening, you know, back in the day, I was like, oh man, God, that's pretty abusive, right? Chastening? I mean, you know, when I think of chastening, I'm thinking of Jesus with that cat of nine tails and pulling skin off his back. God, that's harsh. That's not it at all. You can see now, God is trying to correct. And it's for our good. He loves us. He's trying to get you back. He's trying to get you to get your life back into the blessing. Go with me to Proverbs 13. And then after reading 11 and 12, the Holy Spirit said this to me. Read verse 13. I'm like, oh, okay. Here we go. Proverbs 3:13. So this whole series is connected. Here we go, verse 13. So it talks about honoring the Lord with your possessions, with the first fruits of your increase, the chastening and correction of the Lord in our life, and then verse 13 pops up. Oh, the sun starts to rise again because it says this, happy is the man or person who finds wisdom and the man or person who gains understanding. The chastening hand of the Lord, correction from the Lord, is all meant for this, for you to gain wisdom and gain understanding where you once lacked it in your life. That gave place to the enemy. Are you following me? And because you end up finding that wisdom and say wisdom and understanding. Because you found wisdom and understanding, it restores and releases a happiness, a joy, and a peace back into your heart and life. Oh, come on. So here, if you really had to break it down, this is how you would break it down. Honor the Lord with everything and with the first fruits of your increase. And if you don't, for your own good, you'll receive chastening and correction from the Lord. Because God loves you and he cares for you so much than to leave you in a mess. It will cause you to gain wisdom and understanding. Because of that wisdom and understanding, you will come back to a place of happiness, of joyfulness, fulfilled, and content in your life again. Isn't that beautiful? Now, here we go. I'm almost done here. Just 1.5 more pages. Here we go. Psalm 37. Go back with me to Psalm 37. You getting anything out of this? Hallelujah. See, our Heavenly Father is not a child abuser. He is not a child abuser. Everything he does for us is for our good. Amen? The key is, when that chastening comes, don't let it last. Get the memo. Receive the wisdom of what he's showing you. Amen? And start living in it. And the season shifts back to favor. Hallelujah. Psalm 37, verse 8. Oh, I got more revelation for you here. Here we go. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Do not fret, it only causes harm. Oh, this is so good. Are you ready? I really, wake your neighbor up if you hear him snoring right now, because this is powerful. I received this revelation about anger and wrath that is absolutely, I've never seen this before. Here we go. Anger and wrath, they are mentioned separately. Say separately. Anger is defined as a strong feeling of annoyance, displeasure, or hostility. A strong feeling of annoyance, displeasure, or hostility. Anybody ever been angry before? This morning, probably at your spouse, right? Something, right? Okay. Listen to this. Wrath. Oh, here we go. Oh, listen. Wrath is defined as this, extreme anger, extreme annoyance, displeasure, or hostility. Now, why would God separate? God separated those for a reason. Anger and wrath. wrath is an extreme version, a higher level of anger. And it says to forsake. It says to forsake wrath, doesn't it? Forsake means this, to renounce or to give it up. To renounce or give it up. Oh, say renounce. Renounce. Oh, this is powerful. So wrath is the same ingredients as anger, again, but it's an extreme higher level. But God put that in there for a reason. God doesn't waste words in his word. Amen? If he puts anger and wrath, he wants us to know something about both of them, right? So that must be important for the Holy Spirit to put that in there. Here we go. The Holy Spirit told me this about wrath. Ready? Wrath will make a human do things that normal anger would not cause them to do. Here's why. Are you ready? Anybody in here got an anger problem? Listen up. Tune in. Ready? Wrath, here's why wrath is so dangerous. Because we can be angry, but sin not. Are you following me? But there's no permission to have wrath. It says to forsake it. Are you following me? So obviously there's a good anger, there's a bad anger. Wrath, it's all bad. Here's why. Because this is what the Holy Spirit told me. Because wrath allows a greater influence from demonic spirits in your life. Oh, my, my, my. Listen to me here. Wrath allows a greater influence. It's a bigger door for demon spirits to operate in your life. It takes, this is what he said, it takes a greater partnership or influence from the demonic, with the demonic, for something, for someone to be converted from just anger into wrath. It takes a partnership with demons on that. And that is why we are commanded to forsake it. Did you notice the definition of the word forsake has in it renounce? Did you notice that? Renounce. Why? Why are we supposed to renounce wrath? Because there's demons behind that. And so we are to renounce demonic spirits in our life. And if you have them, you need deliverance from them. Wrath will cause an individual to pull an OJ. Did you just hear what I said? Wrath will cause a human being to do something that they would not typically do. Why? Because they're given a greater influence to demonic spirits in their life. And that's why it says, forsake it, renounce it. Yeah. Renounce that partnership with the demonic in your life. Ooh, never seen that before. If you are holding on to anger and wrath, bitterness and unforgiveness from the past, you will be hindered from arising into victory in your life. You will. Deal with it. Then let it go. Guess what? You got to come to the place of this, that I cannot change the past. We've all made mistakes. You can't go back. Yeah, it stinks what happened. But guess what? You can't go back. Deal with it emotionally and then let it go and move on. Amen. You got to move on. Amen. Now, you can't change your past, but you can surely impact your present and future. See, those negative emotions are only keeping you in bondage, not the person that wronged you. Are you following me? The person who wronged you, they don't care. They don't care that you're suffering. They don't care that you're filled with wrath. They don't care that your life is a mess. They don't care. So you got to start caring about yourself. Amen. Depart from your own fleshly wisdom and feelings. Are you ready for this? Of injustice. We depart from your own fleshly wisdom and feelings of injustice. Allow God to work it out. Allow God to fight that battle. And just begin to rest in him again. Get back to that place of peace and joy back in your heart. Let God deal with them. Let God deal with them. Amen? Some of you, listen to this. as I get ready to close here, some of you are holding on to anger toward yourself. You're holding on to anger toward yourself. Some of you are holding on to wrath toward yourself. One of the things where people, that they do if they're holding on to wrath toward themselves, is that they'll be cutters. They'll cut themselves. Are you following me? They'll try to harm themselves. There's a hatred toward themselves. You need to let things go. You need to move on. You got to deal with those things. Go to the point of the pain. Deal with it. Release it. Arise and start again. A righteous person arises. How many times? Come on. Come on. As many times as you need. Amen. God is able and willing to redeem the time, as I've been talking about in past messages, but he is needing and waiting on you to cooperate with him in the process. We need to cooperate with him in the process. Church, it's time for us to get back up. It's time for us to continue to run the race that's set before us. As the prophet Micah did, we need to start looking up. We need to start getting our eyes off the negative circumstances and get our eyes focused back on the Lord, back on his word. Victory belongs to us in the name of Jesus, because greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. And God is encouraging us, get back up. Amen? And it's time, listen to me, it's time to boldly confess this: I shall arise like an eagle on the wind of the Holy Spirit in the name of Jesus. Let's stand up in this place. It's time to arise. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Prayer team, come on up. Now, maybe there's someone here, you've never made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life. You need to do it today. You're feeling that nudge. Just get out of your seat right now and come up to a prayer team member. Just do it. Don't even think about it. Just get up here. You're feeling the nudge. I remember the time I felt that nudge. Wow, I was in an arena at the upper level in Colorado State University, and when I made the move down, I remember it felt like I was floating down the aisle. I didn't even feel my feet hit. In fact, I wonder if I did float, to be honest with you. That's how it felt. It was such a supernatural experience. If you never made Jesus Lord of your life, do it now. You don't know when you're going to take your last breath. Now, maybe there's someone in here right now. Come on down. You come on down. Just don't wait for me to end it. Come on down. Now, if this message really hit you, you felt like you've been down, you felt like you're entangled in this wrath and anger, you feel like this, you feel like injustice has been done to you, this message hit you, come on down. You want to rededicate your life to the Lord, come on down and pray with someone here. Don't leave this building without praying, saying, this message hit me. It hit me right in the heart. Amen. If you've never received the Holy Spirit baptism, come on down. Let them pray over you to receive the Holy Spirit baptism, to receive power. Jesus said you will receive power after the Holy Spirit comes upon you. If you need prayer for healing or anything else, family member, we're going to be here. Now, we do got to get out of here as soon as possible, so don't tarry like they did in the upper room, okay? Quick prayer, see ya, all right? Well, listen, it don't have to be a long prayer. There's power in short prayers, right? Huh? Come on. Yeah, all right, guys, I love you. I hope you guys got something out of this. I'm excited for what the Holy Spirit's doing. They're coming here by one, so thank you to everyone who's given to that. Thank you to everyone who sows into this ministry. Invite family and friends, bring them back, and we're going to continue to have amazing things happen in this region. God bless you all. Have a great week.